Welcome to the Sonya Buchanan Show, where we inspire one life, one smile at a time. Hey everyone, it is time for the Sonya Buchanan Show, where we focus on one life, one smile at a time. Listen, you all, we're going to be everywhere in this podcast today. We're going to be on every corner, north, east, south, and west. But before we dive into, let me give you the title. It's going to be Taking Ownership of Truth Reality. And we're going to dive into the podcast right after this commercial. So stay tuned.
Hey everyone!
Have you ever had a day that you planned to accomplish a gazillion of things, but distractions interrupted your commitment and you achieved nothing? There's a perfect solution to the madness. Try journaling on your busiest days. We offer 6 amazing cool designs of journal entry journals starting at $5.99. These journals are designed to improve your goal productivity. So what are you waiting for? Order now at comfortingpromises.com. Click on the e-store tab. Your day will be happier you did.
Welcome back to the Sonya Buchanan Show, where we focus on one life, one smile at a time. Again, our title is Taking Ownership of Truth Reality. Listen, I have to tell you, yesterday I sent out a video stating that I had no idea what we were going to talk about today. And I was sitting here just pondering, what could I talk about? And I'm sitting here reading and just studying and doing a narrative about a couple of things. But I said, you know what, this would be a great podcast subject. And as I'm still doing my research and just bringing some kind of clarity and understanding about a level of history and the truth of reality that brings us up to a current reality, and maybe it can make some changes. So I just want to just throw out some things out there to you and just have an open discussion about a couple of things that I am trying to bring clarity to. But first, a couple of weeks ago, I was doing a little research on just taxes in general, when all of these things are, how it was established, and just bring some kind of clarity and understanding where the mindsets of people when they set these laws into effect. But the reason why I was kind of triggered to go into the earth laws is that one morning, just actually about 2 weeks ago, it was actually last week, because right now spring is changing the fruits and vegetables into the manifestations of a harvest to pick them. And I was at the park, and at our park, we have wild red berries and blackberries that grows near the walking trail. And every year they bloom, and there's so many. It doesn't even matter how many times that the person who actually tills the yard or the park area to make sure it stays cultivated and looking nice, that the berries always manifest every single year. And it's really great because we have wildlife that's also at the park, and they have things to eat. And what made me think about the laws is because of the laws of Earth, the laws of the universe, how the red berries and blueberries and blackberries blooms every single year. They manifest every year. And there's something about when I studied the history of religion and the history of the universal law and the understanding of, I'm still just bringing clarity of the understanding of space and how our heavens, the heavenlies, like the planets and all of that, that just intrigues me. It really does. I get so intrigued about universal things, and it all plays a part in our life every single day. And so I was looking at the nature, how nature continuously to obey the laws that it was created to obey. It never fluctuates. It always does the same thing. And every year, those blueberries and red berries, they bloom. And the animals that lives on the outskirts, because there's woods around the walking trail, they have things to eat. They never go starving because they know automatically that nature always provides them food, provides them shelter, it provides them a home to live, and they're not even afraid of the people. Well, I don't know if they're afraid of people, but they're not afraid when I'm walking around them. They act like that they're part of the community just as I'm a part of the community when I'm walking. But I thought about, I was just watching the berries, how they're transforming. So this morning, I went walking and the berries are almost ready to pick. Now I can go and pick the berries and I can eat the berries as well as the animals can because they're edible type of fruit that you can do that. And so it triggered to me to think about, these are the laws that the universe provides. Every single year, as I stated before in previous podcasts, we have apple trees that blooms in certain parts of the year. We have watermelon that blooms in certain parts of the year. Just different vegetation that blooms in a certain part of the year. And then there's fruits and vegetables that only grows in certain parts of the earth. Like pineapple will not grow here in Georgia, of course. But it all caters to a certain law that the universe has already been spoken. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with the word of God in the Bible. You know, of course, the understanding, I don't know what religion you are, but it always says if someone created these things, that it operates according to a universal law. You know, we cannot separate the fact that gravity is a universal law and it affects everyone, whether you're saved or not. It's same thing with the fruits and vegetables that's growing at the park. It's a part of the universal law. So it affects everyone, whether you saved or not, whether you are righteous or not, whether you are hateful or not, or whether you are a baby or not, whether you are an animal, it still operates the same way. So it's universal law. So it's consistent. The same thing with the oceans. It never go past the limitations that is stated, that it will not go past the limitation that stays within the measurement. And I'm going to go into what I'm talking about here. But last summer, during the pandemic, I decided to go to the beach for a day. And I noticed something. My favorite beach is Myrtle Beach. I go there every single year, but because of the pandemic, the place was not safe to go, but I wanted to go to the ocean. And one of the things that I noticed, that I went to the ocean, I went to Tybee Island, and I noticed that Tybee Island and the Myrtle Beach coast is on the same water, but the tides and the waves, they go in different. While I was in Georgia at Tybee Island, during the evenings, the water came towards the land. And when I am in South Carolina, the Myrtle Beach, during the evening, the water goes away from the land. And I saw that, and it was really interesting. Of course, I could not wait to get home to get an understanding about that particular universal law and understanding how it operates. But I don't want to go into that. That's another podcast. But I want to talk about universal laws and laws of the earth. So this morning, I said this will be a great to just bring this information. So I did a little research on who makes up these rules and regulations and laws for mankind. We already know who makes up the rules and the laws and universal laws, the earth laws, as far as vegetation and the way the sun rises and it goes down and the moon during the course of 4 quarters in the month, it has a full moon. We already know who operates that, but who actually operates the laws of the land? Of course, man does. So I decided to look and to see about marriage because I'm not married. So I was, you know, kind of looking and say, who started this? And when did marriage become a law? Because there's been so many conversations about African Americans and bondages. And then you have the Black Wall Street conversations, then you're having all these different things that's pertaining to the neglect of certain race, Asian hate, and all of this. So I began to look and see a couple of things. First, I started with marriage, and I wanted to know, when did marriage occur? Because when we looked at movies when I was younger, there was not a mindset that people went to a court system to get paperwork to say we're married. They just perform marriage. So I wanted to start with that. And so I looked it up and it says that marriage law became an act in 1913. And it was that you were required to have a marriage license. Okay, so it says the federal government formally recognizes marriage in law for the first time with the passage of the Revenue Act of 1913. And then it says 1929, all states now have laws regarding marriage licenses. So it took between 1913 when it started and all 50 states was required to have a marriage license in 1929. And I thought about that. And, you know, I'm going somewhat with this, you guys, because this is something I just want to just bring out far as the laws and the acts of it to make it legal. Then I understood one of the things that there's a conversation that's been 100 years pertaining to Black Wall Street. And that was in 1921. Okay. Well, back in the day, African American people were not required to pay taxes. Only it began in 1939 is when rich Americans was the only people who were forced to pay taxes. So if Black Wall Street was 1929 and Black people was not required to pay taxes, they didn't have to pay taxes during that time. And also during the time that marriage took place as illegal licenses was not required to pay taxes either. Now, can you imagine that? That you were waived not having to pay taxes? Only your rich Americans at the time where World War II was required, the rich Americans was able to pay taxes. It wasn't until later that the IRS realized that they could make more money if they required everyone to pay taxes. And then that is when everybody was required to pay taxes. But the tax laws, what I want to go into is that the tax laws was actually made rules and regulations for rich people. So the reason why I want to mention this is because we're having such a huge gap between Black Americans' wealth and white Americans' wealth is because of the laws that was created that was built upon the rich Americans that was paying taxes in the first place. So the reason why I want to talk about this is because we can always go back and look at the history and finding out why was the taxes created and what was the taxes created and why was it? So we can find out how can we eliminate the gap between the wealth between women, Blacks, and white counterparts. Because this is something that is, it's going to take a personal dive in more so than a group of people or a discussion or have an argument over a podcast, but just having your own personal convictions that you want to look and see how can I make changes within my own household as far as finances and also the generational lineage going forward with your children, your grandchildren, your future generation, because this is something that I truly believe that the knowledge here will kind of help maybe shape the knowledge going forth. I don't know if people talk about it. I try to read as much as I can and I try to listen to much as I can as far as my own personal life. But, you know, there's so much information that you can dive into. They'll just be overwhelming. You actually need an alliance or a group of people just kind of like throwing all the information on the table and you're having these meetings and learning. And yes, there's so many people that you can learn, but you want to just kind of learn and have discussions and just finding out about the laws that happened and between 1900s and 1949, because this is what take place. The reason why I'm talking about it is because I grew up, I had the fortunate time to meet my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my grandfather. And one of the things that I had always paid attention to is that all of my great-grand people, they all had houses. And it really just kind of confused me, because in my mind, I'm thinking they lived such a poor life and they lived such a destitute with racism and all of this, but yet they have property. They have residential property, living in homes. And that used to puzzle me. So now that I'm older and I'm starting to understand, looking back at the way laws was created and why they were created and who was it created for that would benefit the counterparts, that they made it happen. They were very prestigious about how they said, okay, I'm going to present this as a bill. Can it work out for me? And then sometimes it didn't work out for them. And then there was incidents where it did work out and it didn't work out for them. And so I wanted to just kind of abrasively talk about some of the laws that was created. And also with the laws far as marriage, far as taxes, far as the Black Wall Street, they all kind of resonated around the time where our world was kind of shaping the form of creating it for a selective group of people. And so how do we go and change all of this? We have to go back from the beginning and find out why it was created. Why it was created, and who was it created for? What was the annunciation for this law to be presented in the court systems in order to make the changes in 2021? To me, that's how I look at it. You got to go back from the beginning and find out the what, when, where, why, and how. You got to answer those questions. Then you bring that forth and say, this is what happened then. What are the changes in the middle? And then what's happening now? Because again, our whole world is changing into a digital format. Now we have to look at all of this. But if we have not paved the way and bringing an understanding as the previous segments of our life, and we still haven't these tug of wars, then the tug of wars is going to carry on over into the digital world, because we have not made known and understood what happened prior before the digital world. So if we can work on that now and getting some kind of restitution, bringing an understanding, you know, and I know it's easier to talk about it, but it's easier at first. You present it as a discussion, and then you start breaking the things down into corners and say, this is what this is, and this is what this is. This is why this was established. It takes a little time, and it takes curiosity. It takes just kind of pulling out the paperwork and finding out, why was this created? It may not totally been maybe against me, or is it against me now in 2021? Or was it against my past generation back in the day? But even though it may have been that, but there are things are changing. And again, I state that we are going into a digital world, and how is that going to affect us if we're still working on trying to make pavement and a clear path and understanding of what happened in the past? And the only way you're going to find out what happened in the past is you got to go back and find out why these things was created in the first place. And I know that many people have already done that, and this is like a broken record or whatever, but of course, sometimes it's always good to just kind of bring things back into the forefront and say, find out what's happening here, make a chart to say, this is this is this is this, let's make changes here. Has this been changed? You know, like watching every day, have a bill been created? What is Congress trying to pass? Especially when we're talking about finances and certain races. because the gap between Black and white Americans is not as large as the Asian and white Americans and the Latino and the white Americans. So that is something that I want to talk about. Now, also, I'm still talking about who makes up these rules and who makes up these formulated laws in our mindset that this is what this is. And I also want to talk about a couple of things. This week, we've been talking about the bonnet wearing things. And this is just funny to me that people are having these conversations about women wearing bonnets in the public eye. And I understand where the bonnets come from, but I also want to raise my hand up with a white flag that the Little House on the Prairie, Laura Ingalls wore a bonnet when she was on the horse and carriage going to a neighbor's house. So the bonnet thing has been around forever and a day. And, you know, I don't want to make a comment about whether or not it's presentable in the public eye or going to the store with it on. But of course, we know it comes from history with our grandparents wearing bonnets, you know. But in my mind, when I heard that, because it doesn't bother me whether or not I see that in public. I'm not offended by it. It doesn't bother me. Because I don't make a narrative about somebody else's life. I don't know why they're there with that on. That's how I look at things like that. But in my mind, I immediately said, well, if everyone has such a problem with bonnets, with people wearing bonnets in public, this to me is a business opportunity. Let's solve this problem. Let's create cute little bonnets so they can wear them out in the public. So if anybody out there who is an inventor, who is into fashion, hey, this is an opportunity for you to invent and get it patented and to be able to sell it to the people who love to wear these things out in the public. Now, again, who makes up these rules to say you can't do that? That's another thing. Who makes up this rule to say this is improper wear? You know, not to say whether it is or not, because I'm not giving my opinion about that. And also the pajama situation. Now, I'm going somewhere with this because I'm trying not to make this podcast too long, but the pajamas. Yes, we already know that there was an era about 2-3 years ago that the pajamas and the onesie things, you know, you wear in the public and it was really cute. And I used to see it all the time and I thought it was cute. The whole family's out wearing onesies together. But I just want to say, who makes up these rules to say that these items are not for public wear? See, the material that these onesies or these pajamas are out in public is the same material that is created when they are making blouses and shirts. So the material are the same substance, but the way that it is designed is saying this is pajamas and this is not pajamas, but it's made out of the same cloth. Who makes up these rules to say this is not acceptable, this is acceptable? I'm just you know, randomly just saying who is making these formulated thoughts to say this is not acceptable and this is acceptable. Again, in the beginning of our podcast, the only consistencies of laws is the universal law. Now, I do want to say this. Now, if you're interested in going further in life and your career, being presentable and making sure that you are well dressed and you look nice is the way to go, because that is something that has always been in the earth, that you are presentable. But I'm just saying that really, who makes up this stuff? And to end this podcast, I just want to share this one segment because I try to keep my podcast as open-minded as possible and also just bring ideas and what I think and some information that I know that is fact and truth. But I worked with Vietnamese people and I had a group. I was the team lead of a group of 17 Vietnamese people. And one of the things that they asked me, and they had just came from their country. So they lived in one of those refugees camps. And at the time, during the 80s, the government was giving companies, I guess, money, or they were giving them some kind of award for hiring the people who was in those camps. So we have received couple of Vietnamese people, and I had a group of seven women who sat around and talked with me, and they asked me this one question that I want to bring forth to you. And they asked me, why do we say that sausages and eggs and pancakes are considered breakfast food? Because during our time spending together, I noticed they never ate that stuff for breakfast. And they wanted to know, why does American people have selected food for breakfast and lunch and dinner? And it made me think and ponder today, as presenting this podcast to you, who makes up this stuff? Of course, we know a lot of people do eat sausages and pancakes for lunch and dinner. But they ask that question because, of course, they're coming from their country, and they used to ask me questions all the time about the United States. And they wanted to know, because they ate rice and whatever particular meats and vegetables from lunch, from breakfast, from, you know, whenever we ate and snacked. They didn't have a specific food that was designated to say, this is what this food is for this time of the morning, you know. And they asked me that question, and honestly, I don't remember answering them. I was puzzled because I could not answer that for them. And my question to you, who makes up this stuff? Who says that this is the way it has to be? Why do I have to eat sausages in the morning? Why do I have to eat bacon? And why, you know, of course we don't have to, because again, like I said, you know, people do eat that type of food all day long. And there's a restaurant called Golden Corral, and they have decided to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner the whole entire time that they're open. So they continue to do it. They used to clear out the breakfast, but now they continue on having breakfast food all during the different segments of the day because people enjoy eating that. But who makes up this stuff? Who makes up these rules? Who makes up the formulated mindset that we have come to agreement with? And I just wanted to know, being authentic is still something that I believe that the God of the universe expects us to be, because he made us all individually different, to have different things that we like, and not to have to be formed into some group to say, I'm agreeing with this because this is what the majority of people are agreeing to. But I just wanted to know and ask you, who comes up with this stuff? And is it right, or do I have to align my thoughts and thinking with the group, whether or not I'm disagreeing with it? And because they're doing it, is it okay? You know? Just to end this podcast now, and who comes up with this stuff? So think about some of the things in your world, and think about why you think that way, and are you in agreement with it, or are you just going with the crowd? So this is the end of our podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. But who comes up with this? Again, our title is Taking Ownership of Truth Reality. Who comes up with this stuff, you guys? Hey, the next generation is going into a digital world, and it may be a 180. It's not going to be a 360. I truly believe it's not. But who comes up with this stuff? We got to bring reality, and we got to bring truth to it, so that yesterday's situations and mishaps won't affect our digital world and going forward in our future. But listen, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for coming back every week. And thank you for listening to me today in my just talking just abrasively. And until next week, this is your girl, Sonya Buchanan, with the Sonya Buchanan Show, where we focus on one life, one smile at a time. Bye, you guys. I'll see you next week. Thank you for joining our podcast today. The podcast was produced and edited by Sonya Buchanan. For more information about the host, you can go to sonyabuchanan.com. For information about Comfort and Promises broadcast community, you can go to comfortandpromises.com. Thank you for listening to our broadcast, The Sonya Buchanan Show, where we focus on one life, one smile at a time. Until next time, bye, you guys.